This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. I cannot contain my excitement. This is Andrew Reich at Place to Be Nation's NBA team podcast. This is a pod blast. This is emergent pod. This is a warning pod. This is an I am so fucking excited I can't handle it pod. Adam Murray, you know why I'm excited, don't you?
You know, the last time you did this was when the Pelicans traded for Cousins. You had an emergency podcast.
The lost episode with Todd Weber, the great Todd Weber.
The only guest we've ever had where we were both on it, and the only official lost episode. But
and the recording god said, nope.
but here I am again, dragged out for this.
Oh, yes. And why is that? Because we actually had a fairly epic NBA draft lottery. Not necessarily just because of the Zion Williamson sweepstakes, which is obviously, I mean, that was the big golden goose, and it was won by my New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans did win the lottery. They had, I want to say, the ninth best chances, or maybe the seventh best chance to get
seventh
it.
Seventh best.
It would have, like, if things had fallen the way it normally would have, the order would have been Knicks, Cavs, Suns, Bulls, Hawks, Wizards, Pelicans, Grizzlies, Hawks, again, Wolves, Lakers, Hornets, Heat, and Celtics. And it just seemed like right when the Lakers would have been called at 11, which went to the Wolves, which was a peg down from where they would have been at 10, you knew something was up. You knew the Lakers had moved up. But then you realized the Grizzlies and the Pelicans had moved up also in the top four. Can you explain and give me kind of like the sloppy math about what they did with the lottery reform that maybe caused some of this?
Well, thanks to the Cavaliers winning it 3 years out of four, people are like, we've had enough of this. This is shenanigans. So they basically watered down the weighting system as opposed to the first place, the worst team getting 25%. They're like, oh, you're now 14%.
But the Cavs won those lotteries because they were bad. Correct.
Yeah. Well, because they got themselves in position to. So this now, in order to negate tanking, oh, well, you don't have 25% chance. You have a 14% chance. Well, then that leads to a whole set of arguments. Well, you could tank after All-Star break. Well, that's what most teams do anyways. This gives you an incentive to play. Don't phone it in from week one, which some teams kind of did.
Well, listen, I'm not John Nash. I'm not Nate Silver. I'm not one of these mathematician geniuses. I don't think anybody in the NBA until last night would have probably professed themselves to be either. But did the leveling off of the 14% for those top three likely teams to get the number one pick, was that enough to cause this kind of chaos where three teams that wouldn't have even had a remote chance of getting the number one pick had a chance of getting the number one pick?
It made it so
the three teams I'm talking about are the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, and the Lakers. The Knicks were still in it, even though they had the best chance of getting it going into it, tied with Cleveland and Phoenix.
Well, they didn't have the best chance. They ended up tied for the best chance.
That's what I was trying to say. Even then, the Suns were there too, but they got the Suns and the Cavs, they got 5 and 6 respectively. I mean, not great results.
And, well, that's what, it was sort of, well, that's what you get for tanking all season. And, you know, people were complaining about it, but other people were like, well, yeah, that's true. Like, you know Atlanta's like, oh, we kind of got screwed. Well, Atlanta put that team out there with no intention of being competitive whatsoever.
No, they were slightly better than, like, Tankathon bad. I mean, the Bulls and the Knicks and the Phoenix Suns were Tankathon bad.
The Bulls weren't Tankathon bad because they have money in their team. The Knicks were just like, yeah, we're tanking. We don't have any chance.
Mm-hmm. Dallas was like a sneaky tank, but they didn't even have their pick because they gave it to the Hawks to get Luka Doncic.
Phoenix can't even try to tank correctly. They couldn't do anything right. But this was
the worst thing they did is they actually drafted well with number one. They got DeAndre Ayton. So that kind of helped them in a weird way, if that makes any sense.
No, they didn't draft well because they blew the next pick by drafting a small forward at, what, 10 or 15?
Mikal Bridges, yeah. He's not bad.
who they already had Josh Jackson and they signed Trevor Ariza. So, but regardless, the point of this one was, which, you know, like you said, people didn't know going in, was it gave a lot more teams chance because you have like teams like every year, like Orlando, well, and even Dallas to an extent, like they're bad, but they're not tanking bad, but they're not good. So every year they're perennially like the eighth pick, the seventh pick. You know, it's like how Milwaukee was that for, like, you know, a good 6 years. And it's like, well, what good can you do getting the eighth pick every year?
And that was a situation where hold on a second. So that was a situation with Glenn. Like, they actually got Glenn Big Dog Robinson, but they had so many failures. Like, I can't even remember. Like, they were so random, I don't even remember. Didn't they have one year where they picked Joe Alexander?
They picked Joe Alexander 10th, and the Clippers for a while. You know, Alexei Korolev 10th. And
yeah. But we're getting away from it.
Donald Foyle was 9th. And just, by the way, that point, if you're – well, what good are you? You're a bad team because you didn't make the playoffs. You're in the lottery. But you're picking 9th, so by that point – The player pool is really becomes a crapshoot that late.
So, you know, obviously I was being a little of a grandstander when I was talking about the Pelicans. I am legitimately excited, but there are a lot of narratives we got to throw out here. Number one, because of the fact that it's just too fucking fun to talk about. Let's talk about New York and LA. The Knicks had the best chance. They wound up with the third pick in what a lot of people feel like is a three-player draft. Now, the three players that people are talking about that everyone's gunning for, number one is, like, top-tier guy Zion Williamson, who's probably going to go to New Orleans, barring some kind of epically weird situation, like if Zion goes back to Duke because he doesn't want to play for New Orleans,
now,
which
why would...
I don't, like, pulls a John Elway.
But who is going to do that this day and age with...
The risks... The physical risk, like what if you get injured? You know, you blew up your shoe in a game against North Carolina and almost tore your knee. Do you want to do that again? And you're going to be a year older, you know, with your prime coming closer during a rookie contract? Why take the risk? To me, that's beyond stupid.
I don't – that's just a lot of hate coming from the, you know, the media all of a sudden. Like, oh, he's not going to want to play there. Like, why would he –
Oh, did you see how he rusted in his jimmies in the auditorium? Dude, that guy has no idea what's going on. All he knows is that he's going to go play for this team. That's all he knows.
All he knows is his contract is already set. He's going to make X amount, and oh no, he's going to go back to Duke because he didn't go to New York. And like, I haven't heard players doing yet.
The B story there is They didn't do it right with Anthony Davis. They weren't able to build, like, a true contender around him. What makes you think they can start over with another once-in-a-generation draft pick by winning the lottery again and doing it with Zion Williamson and just wasting years with Zion? That's the B story with the Pelicans, whereas the A story, I want to say, with the – as much as I hate to say it, is the fact that New York and L.A. did not get the number one pick.
And it's funny that – You know, with the, oh, well, they squandered with Davis. Yeah, they completely did. But then again, Orlando squandered with Shaq.
They squandered Dwight Howard.
They squandered Dwight Howard. Yeah. Minnesota squandered Kevin Garnett.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was about to say it, but I changed my mind. Oklahoma City did not squander Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant bailed on him.
No, Oklahoma City squandered it because they had Durant, Harden.
That team was a game away. A choke job of a series away from going to the NBA Finals, probably winning it all in 2016. I can't say it. I thought they put him in a good position to be a contender on that team for the near future, and he just didn't want to do
it. Well, the problem was the owner didn't want to pay the luxury tax, so Harden got shipped out. That trade really, we have to go back through it, but I don't think they had such great return for him.
Mm-hmm. That was who was that guy? Oh, Kevin Martin. Wasn't Kevin Martin part of that deal?
Kevin Martin, the three picks was like, you know, one of them was like Deron Lamb and maybe Adams was one. And I don't.
So what was your general reaction when New Orleans won it? Now, you did tell me before the draft, the lottery happened. Well, you know, there is that conspiracy theory that because New Orleans played nice with Anthony Davis and they didn't try to fully tank and that they didn't try to force a trade with the Lakers and create this collusion type of atmosphere, that this was sort of a reward for playing by the rules.
I was the only one who made that conspiracy theory, so it wasn't
No,
like.
no, 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 no. That there's no Adam. There's no one person that makes a conspiracy theory. That's the point of a conspiracy
I haven't
theory.
Heard anybody mention it. I was the only one.
You're not living in Louisiana. We hear it all the time.
I floated it to you. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, Tom Benson bought the team in 2012 right after the lockout shortened season to take it off of David Stern's hands, and bing, bang, boom, we win the lottery and get Anthony Davis. You don't think we heard that forever? And of course we're going to hear it with Zion.
I think the Zion just more, well, the Knicks guy screwed, the Knicks guy screwed. Well, because you people were already writing him there. Like, that's the point of the lottery system.
They should have brought out the corpse of Dave DeBuscher. Or maybe Dave DeBuscher's kid. That would have done it. Instead, they brought out old-ass Georgetown head coach Patrick Ewing. I will say the funniest one was Alvin Gentry. I almost said Adam Gentry. Are you coaching the Pelicans next year?
That's first name, not last name. Adam is a very common name.
Alvin Gentry was like doing the Ric Flair strut, saying, fuck yeah, in the drawing room after they announced that they got the number one pick, because you know they have two tiers. They have the actual drawing, which Gentry was in the room for, and then there's the announcement. Now, I don't know what the particulars – I know Zach Lowe wrote a piece about it, but I don't know the particulars about whether or not that other person who represents the team on television actually knows that
– No, none of them, or not. None of them know.
Okay. So it's a magic trick. Okay.
The only people who know are in that room. They're not allowed to leave. Their cell phones are confiscated.
Dude, he was so happy. You cannot tell me that Alvin Gentry somehow, through smoke signals, did not tell David Griffin that he won that lottery.
No. He saved his job.
Mm-hmm.
Because you would realize if Howard gets – not Howard. AD gets traded. Let's say it's the Lakers one. You get Kuzma, who can't play defense. You have Lonzo Ball, who can't stay healthy.
You can move Julius Randle because Randle is basically playing Zion's position. I don't think they could play together, to be honest with you.
So
I mean, we're getting way ahead now.
He's kept his job now, and he has hope as opposed to, oh, look, you have a reclamation project. Good luck. Oh, you've lost. We have to fire you. So, you know, he saved his job and career, essentially, because if he washes out of here, he's just going to go back to be an assistant coach somewhere.
Yeah, he'll go back to the Warriors and be, like, sitting next to Ron Adams or Jaron Collins or something like that. Did you feel like – I mean, we already talked about the leveling off of the odds in the top three that kind of created a little bit of the chaos. Did – even though it caused a lot more flexibility as to who was going to be – who was going to get the number one pick, a lot of people are already kind of like tickling – like looking at – reading the tea leaves and saying this is going to stop tanking. Absolutely not. I do not believe that. I know that – I believe that any team that knows that they don't have a chance will always try to lose games in order to, you know, get – make a better chance. You know, the Pelicans pulled off some pretty amazing losing tank jobs during the season anyway in order to get into
the position. Well, that's the thing, is they're like after the All-Star break, they went into full tank mode. Yeah, you're never going to stop tanking, you're never going to stop positioning, but again, at the same time, like I said earlier, this prevents it from starting on week one. Like, we're tanking, we're just going to go for picks.
Like the Suns do, yeah.
We're just inept. We're Philadelphia. We know we're going to – the only way to do good is number one pick, so we're not going to even try again this year. Like, the Knicks are a fine line because
– I think
we'll
the Knicks, when they traded – when they knew Porzingis didn't want to be there anymore, they gave up on the season.
Basically. But, like, Cleveland. Like, you know that team wasn't going to be
any good. They fired Tyronn Lue like a week into the season, I want to say.
Yeah, Atlanta, you're putting that starting five on there.
Oh, like, a throwaway topic here. What do you think of John Beilein going to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Is there some sort of scandal at Michigan coming out or something?
I don't know. He did consider going to the Pistons last year before they hired Dwayne.
He did flirt with that. I just thought because it was Pistons, it was Michigan, it was but just
66 years old.
Just to flat out go there, it doesn't like is the Nike thing getting too close to him all of a sudden?
I don't know. I mean that he had built. I mean he always had a decent program at West Virginia and then at Michigan, but it felt like he was sort of solidifying that program to being like really really good every year. Like there was about 3 years in a row where Michigan was like legit. You know, they went to the national championship game the year before. You know, the other guy was the guy he lost to in that national title game, Jay Wright. We'll see where that goes. But, yeah, Beilein was the next best college prospect for, according to Cleveland and Dan Gilbert, after Jay Wright. So, and Beilein took the
money.
But
it's just he's 66. How he's only going to coach for 5 years? It's just a complete stopgap. It doesn't make any
sense.
It's
crazy. And you were talking about the tanking efforts. Before I cut you off, you talked about the tanking efforts of Cleveland. Still the number five pick. I mean, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this draft and the draft class and the depth and the pool. But basically, it's Zion, Ja Morant, who's probably going to go to the Memphis Grizzlies, who congratulations to them.
And that's it. There's nobody's psyched about RJ Barrett.
RJ Barrett's pretty good. I think
nobody's psyched about him.
I think New York's going to definitely sit on that pick and take RJ Barrett. I don't smell a trade there unless because I was about to say AD, but I don't think AD would do that. I think they're dead set on the Kyrie, Kevin Durant pipe dream to see if it actually happens. And since that occurs in free agency after the draft, I think they're just going to sit on their loins, and they're just going to take RJ and not move. And then maybe they can move him later after they sign their rookie deal.
Yeah, but it's not somebody who's, you know, inspiring anybody, or it's a two-player draft. And
it's really, I mean, I can list some names. It's not much, like Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, Kobe White, Jared Culver, Sekou Doumbouya. Did I say that right?
Oh, the French kid?
Yeah, Brandon Clark, Darius Garland, who some people think the Lakers are going to pick. He played four games at Vanderbilt. Bol Bol, who had a foot injury, but I liked him. Romeo Langford, please, come on. Nasir Little, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Rui Hachimura actually was a pretty good player at Gonzaga. He was a teammate of Brandon Clark's. But, I mean, after that, I mean, really, it's Zion, Ja, RJ, and then just it falls off a cliff really fast. That's why the Lakers at number four caused a lot of people to get very suddenly like excited for LA that they were in the lottery, and then feel really, really terrible that they didn't get into the top three.
Yeah, so basically the Pelicans got lucky.
Should the Knicks feel like they lost?
Well, yeah, because everybody told them they did.
Yeah, but you have the number three pick in a three-player draft.
But people have told you lost, so it doesn't matter how much they try to think. Everybody's telling you, you know, it's one of those things like, no, I'm feeling fine. No, man, you look like crap. You're not doing good. No, I'm doing good. No, man, you're not doing good. But I think I'm doing good. No, you lost. It's, you know, like, you watch, you know, it's funny, just reading my Facebook feed of just Knicks fans are just devastated. It's like, well, you bought the hype that you were going to win.
They put a lot of eggs in that basket that they were going to get the number one pick. You know, because they acted like this was the first time that they had the best chance of winning that lottery, because guess what? It was. They've never been – here's the funny thing about the Knicks. Gotham and all them, they are so obsessed with trying to be relevant that they almost work too hard to try to make a good team. Like, it's almost like – does this make sense? Sometimes they make like an almost good team, you know, and it almost is a detriment in today's NBA, where you're either got to be great and be a title contender, or you have to be like god-awful. And the Knicks were never god awful until like just recently. And also the fact is the other years where they were really bad, they didn't have their draft picks because of the Melo trade. That was the other part that I didn't mention.
And basically, just to wrap this up, that's what's going to happen with the draft, is teams are now not going to trade those first round picks because now they know they could jump up. So there's going to be crazy protections on these picks now.
Well, there still are. I mean, there's two sides to the Grizzlies part that you and I talked about before the show started that I found really interesting. When I said that I felt like the Memphis Grizzlies won, you said no. Give me your explanation.
I mean, they won as they got Ja Morant and get to move on from Mike Conley faster, but then they're going to be even worse next year. So next year, their pick is, I think, top five or top six protected to the Celtics.
But then in 2021, it's completely unprotected.
And I doubt they're going to turn it around in 2 years, especially in the West.
So what you're saying is that if they're still really bad by 2021, no matter where they are in the lottery, Boston gets that pick, which I believe was the Deontay Davis deal, right, where they wanted a second-round pick. So they moved up to get him, and they signed him the first-round draft pick money. Is that right?
Yep. He was the number one first pick of the second round.
It was a very random thing. This is like the second time the Grizzlies were the victims of a super random trade. Remember, everybody knows now in folklore the Otis Thorpe trade that cost them basically Carmelo Anthony. Yeah.
And the funny thing was the Pistons squandered it. But
yes, they did. Because they took Darko.
They took Darko, but then again, they were a championship team, so who cares who they picked?
Correct.
He had his ring. But it's like I said, it's going to make for wacky protections now, and we'll trade our first-round pick, but is lottery protected this year, then top 12 protected, then top 11.
Okay. Rapid fire. How excited should Andrew be about his new Orleans Pelicans led by Zion Williamson?
But who else are you going to have?
Holiday is still a very good guard in the NBA.
It's going to depend on what the haul you get for Davis is.
And which team that they work with in order to make that deal. Doesn't have a leg to stand on. It really comes down to Boston, LA, who he's been trying to like work that through for the longest. And then maybe a couple of other teams like the Thunder or something that I'm not mentioning right now.
No, it doesn't matter now because now they have the cards. It wasn't, you know, they probably would have traded it. You know, New York was like, we'll get the number one pick. We'll trade it for Davis. Okay, it could probably would have been, you know, Zion and, you know, Mitchell Robinson and a couple other people
But I still don't think that would have been enough.
Will there be other pieces and probably become like a four-team trade or something? And but now that they have, they're in charge now. They can say we're going to trade them to Portland because we like their offer of blank. They don't have to be desperate.
Here's the thing, too, and because timing is important here. When they got Anthony Davis, they did not have leverage. They were already back to the bottom because they had already traded Chris Paul. They had lost all their leverage in terms of as a franchise because of the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers that didn't happen, that kind of recoiled and made the New Orleans franchise look like they were under the thumb of David Stern. Then they finally got Tom Benson to buy the team, and they won Davis, but they didn't really have leverage. They were just – all they had was the number one pick. They had an extra pick, but they squandered it because they selected Austin Rivers, and then they wasted cap space by – bringing in Drew Holiday and who was the other one? Tyreke Evans, right? Tyreke Evans was the guy who was eating up their cap. The Pelicans, for the first time in a very long time, the New Orleans franchise, they have a ton of leverage now. Like they actually have, they're actually holding the cards in a lot of ways. Now David Griffin can basically cure the franchise's ills in one fell swoop with one move.
Well, we shall see.
Thanks a lot. Okay, this is going to be concluding this Pod Blast episode of the NBA team. Hope everybody enjoyed this little micro rant about the NBA, the very, very wild and crazy NBA draft lottery that just occurred. On behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reich. We'll see you later.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.